Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Sherry M., and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Wyoming. Today is Thursday, September 29th, 2022, and today we are reading from the big book, and we are on page 31, unpacking the second paragraph. Today's readers are Jody E., Freya H., Adrian M., and the reference number for Wednesday, September 28th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,462. And the share ID for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 19,464. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone, who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Deb E. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Deb E., compulsive eater in Montana, and these are the 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I thank you for letting me do service, and with that I pass.
Thanks, Deb E., and now I'll ask Wendy G. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Wendy G. in Colorado. These are the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Hey, thanks so much, Wendy G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 31, and we're reading the second paragraph only, and I will ask Jody E. to begin reading for us. Thanks, Jody.
Thank you so much, Sherry. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic in California. Here are some of the methods we have tried. Drinking beer only. Limiting the number of drinks. Never drinking alone. Never drinking in the morning. Drinking only at home. Never having it in the house. Never drinking during business hours. Drinking only at parties. Switching from scotch to brandy. Drinking only natural wines. Agreeing to resign if ever drunk on the job. Taking a trip. Not taking a trip. Swearing off forever, with and without a solemn oath. Taking more physical exercise. Reading inspirational books. Going to health farms and sanitariums. Accepting voluntary commitment to asylums. We could increase the list ad infinitum. Well, that's a pretty darn good list, and I can certainly relate. How many methods did I try? I tried all kinds. I tried changing from, refined grains to whole grains, or gluten-free, or going all raw, vegan. I did that for a time, which was, it was great, but physically it addressed the allergy, but it didn't address the twist of the mind. I can be abstinent for a long period of time and think that I have this licked. But I will pick up again my alcoholic foods if I do not address the spiritual malady. So all of these are symptoms of a spiritual malady. And that's what this Big Book is trying to get us to see. Abstinence alone is not enough. Knowledge of my condition is not enough. I need to apply the spiritual principles in these 12 steps. I need to pick up the tools and use them. I need to sacrifice myself for others. It's not just about me. It's not just so that I can get abstinent and go my merry way. And I believe that's my time, and with that I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, that was not. You have a minute and 20 seconds left. That wasn't me. Do you want to keep going, Jody? Okay, then I will continue. Okay, here we go. Thank you so much, Jody, for unpacking that paragraph for us. And just a reminder that everyone, please keep your phones muted so as to not disturb the speaker. And now I'm going to take a list of names, and I just want to kindly remind everyone that if you have shared on any Vision for You meeting on Wednesday or Tuesday, we ask that you hold back today. So if you have not shared in the last 2 days, we would like to hear from you. So please give me your name one at a time.
Wendy B.
Sherry Z.
Freya H.
Loretta H.
Roz G.
Okay, here's who I heard. Wendy, and then I thought I heard a gentleman, but I could be wrong. And then I heard Sherry Z, Freya H, Loretta H, Roz G. Did I miss somebody after Wendy?
Diane B.
Justin B.
Christine S.
Justin. And then I heard Diane B. And then who was that last one?
Christine S.
Thank you, Christine. That's a pretty good lineup right now. Why don't we start with these fellows, and then I will take another list. So let's start with Wendy. Go ahead, Wendy.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And, you know, of course, we can all relate to this, you know, trying the different methods. You know, I was constantly trying to manage something that was, you know, that became unmanageable. You know, at first diets did work, you know, and, you know, I was either obsessed with the food and eating and, you know, and trying to recreate those good taste sensations, or I was obsessed with trying to manage my intake, you know, obsessed about different diets, obsessed with different methods of preparing or combining foods, obsessed with finding ways to prepare foods I liked in a lower calorie or healthier form, or obsessed with counting calories and staying within a certain number and finding ways to exercise the excess off, or, you know, obsessed with, you know, numbers on the scale, you know, letting that dictate how I felt, you know, if I felt good that day. And, you know, I was using food to, you know, show love to others, you know, measuring how successful I was by their reaction to what I made and if they took seconds, you know, and I was obsessed with what I put in my mouth and what others put in their mouths. And, you know, I was always, you know, comparing how I looked with how someone else looked, you know, analyzing if they needed to lose a few pounds so I could feel better about myself. And, you know, when I was binging, I just wanted to be around, you know, other people who were also indulging, you know. And but as my disease progressed, you know, I just wanted to be left alone with my food. And, you know, and even in early program, I was obsessed with weighing and measuring, you know, obsessed with rigidly controlling my intake, you know, making it like a diet. And I'm just so grateful, you know, when I found the Big Book, you know, and became introduced to the concept of having neutrality around food, you know, and food behaviors. And, you know, it's just so wonderful to live free of all that obsession, you know, to learn to, you know, get my ease and comfort and my security from God, you know, so I don't need to, you know, try any more vain attempts to control something that's uncontrollable. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Hey, thanks so much, Wendy. Next up is Dustin B.
Is it Sherry Z, did you say?
Good morning. This
no,
is Justin B.
Oh, sorry.
Justin.
Justin B. in Washington, living in the state of recovery as well as in the state of Washington. I want to share a little bit, and I'm going to start with a line from yesterday's reading because I believe it ties in really well with my own experience. You know, our hats are off to him, and there are very few things in life that I crave more than people taking their hats off to me, seeking their applause, their approval. But it turns out that one of those things that I crave more than that is my alcoholic foods. And I was not willing to give those up. I was willing to do whatever it took, except be abstinent from those alcoholic foods. And I tried so many different ways to try and figure out how can I fit in these foods into what I eat and remain sane, remain connected to my higher power. And I would swear off and all of the different things that we read about and talk about in the Rooms of Recovery and in the Big Book. I'd grip my teeth tighter. I'd clench my fists. I'd, you know, beat myself. I'd swear. I'd give oaths and covenants and all sorts of things to people and to my higher power as I understood my higher power then, but was not willing to sacrifice what needed to be sacrificed, no matter what. I'm grateful that that has now happened, at least one day at a time, and what a miracle it is in my life. And now, even when I do get the applause from people saying, "Hey, Justin, you look great. What's going on?" I try not to drink that in, even though I still crave it greatly. But it's a good thing to have surrendered all of these things. And with that, I will pass. Thank you. I'm Justin.
Oh, thanks so much, Justin B. from Washington. Next up is Sherry Z, followed by Freya H. Go ahead, Sherry.
Sherry, can you hear me?
Yep. Yes.
This is Sherry Z, recovered in Southern California. Thank you all for your service, and thank you so much for the lead and the shares. And the first thing I thought is, oh, I'm so not perfect. I interrupted, and I'm this, and I'm that. And it's like, that tells me that no trick could cure me of my compulsive overeating, because that's a mental idea. And what I find fascinating about our paragraph this morning is that those examples are as relevant today as they were then. Like, I did all of that in my own form. And what I can't get over is that I'm a very smart person, and I really believed for so many years that one of them was going to, quote, do the trick, because I had no acknowledgement that the mental twist was so much bigger than any sort of, you know, method that I was going to try. Because all these years I kept thinking, I can beat it. I can figure this out. It's just finding that right method. Only to discover almost 11 months ago that there's no method. There's no method. There's nothing. Because the mental twist is so much bigger than anything that's established on this earth. And what I really needed was a God that is so much bigger than any method that I could ever dream up. And I had to really face, after a lot of years, that the mental twist, and thank God, God reminds me of it every day, because even this morning, as I was coming on to this meeting and I interjected, I was like, oh, I'm not perfect. That's the mental twist. That's the disease. That's the, what are you going to think of me, and image management, and I'm not good enough, and all those things. That's not cured by any method. And I'm just so grateful to be recovered today, to have an amazing sponsor, to have amazing sponsees who are on, and to really to be a part of this we, because I was so alone for so many years trying to make it about me. And thank you again, and look forward to hearing everybody.
Thanks, Sherry. Next up is Freya H., followed by Loretta H. Go ahead, Freya.
Good morning, Freya H., a recovered compulsive eater, bulimic, and restrictor in Colorado. Awesome shares. Thank you, everybody. I'm just hearing so many people hit the nail on the head that maybe these methods worked on a physical level, but they didn't address the mental obsession, therefore they didn't last. You know, maybe they seemed to work for a little while, but they were not long-term solutions. In the previous paragraph, it talks about, you know, self-deception and experimentation. So every form, and then in this paragraph, they're telling us, you're giving us examples of that you know, that experimentation. We tried this, we tried that. And I actually love this paragraph because it is so there's so much tongue-in-cheek humor. They're like just poking fun at themselves. And I find it, you know, it's an opportunity for levity to look at all those things and to look at the ridiculousness. So I recommend to anybody to write this for yourself, you know, to think about what are the methods I tried and list them out and using these as a springboard as, you know, can I adapt these? So some of the things that I came up with, you know, people have shared all of the food related ones, but when I realized that, man, I'm abstinent, but I'm still in, you know, just feeling so crazy inside, I then tried to use my program to manage it. So here are some of the methods I tried was, you know, trying a new approach to the steps, getting a new sponsor, going to more meetings, going to less meetings, doing more service, doing less service, doing different service, doing more 10th steps, doing different formats for 10th steps, spending more or less time on my program in general. And let's see, you know, reading different books, going to different meetings, accepting voluntarily commitment to retreats and workshops. And I could just increase the list. And the reason why those things didn't work for me was because I was trying to do them on my own power. And I wasn't, I just didn't get that, no, this is about following directions in this book so that I can, so that God can create an experience within me that will then shift my perspective. And that's going to, you know, that's the key. That's what we're here for. So as long as I'm doing anything, you know, even if it's really good, healthy stuff, if I'm doing it with this idea that that I'm going to make it happen on my own power, sooner or later, it's not going to produce the intended result. So, so I love this paragraph, and I hope, I just encourage everybody to have fun with it, you know, and to see it as, yes, we're all, you know, we've all done this stuff, and thank goodness that that stuff didn't work, because that's what really convinced me that that I needed a deeper surrender and made me open to a deeper surrender. So with that, I'll pass.
Perfect timing on the dot. Okay, thanks, Freya. Loretta.
Could somebody tell me what chapter this is? I'm sorry.
Yes, we're in More About Alcoholism on page 31, the second paragraph is what we've read today. Thank you. Loretta H. is up next, followed by Roz G.
Sherry, can you hear me? Because I pressed the unmute button.
Yes.
Oh,
great.
Okay.
Thanks, Loretta.
Thanks, lady. Loretta H., recovered, anorexic, and compulsive overeater, and I know it, and with God's grace and mercy, and thank you all for your shares, because you're saving my life. I just infinitum, and today my infinite God is where I have to go, not to my finite self. You know, infinitum is infinity to me. And when my will goes raging, I go get loose and ugly. So anyway, for me, the key in this all thing is I cannot be on a diet because it has the word diet in it. I was in the rooms in 85 and I got sicker. I was on that gray sheet. And in fact, my company did an intervention because for me, it was about the food plan. So when I came in 2001, I had to know that the food was the solution until it could be solved, or not solved, but there was another aspect to my disease, and that is I have a spiritual malady, and I know that today, and that's why I even consider my abstinence, and I know this is controversial, is spiritual, and my food plan is a tool for this. Is my story, because I cannot use the food as my source of recovery, which I did in the 80s, and as I said, got, in fact, I was a flight attendant, and I did not arm my flight on one trip. So I could have killed actually 300 people because I was in a fog. I was in a fog and I wasn't there. Long story short, today in finding myself, which is working the steps, I find the God, and today it is within me. Today I have a heart like the Tin Man and a brain like the Scarecrow that is connected to infinite God and not finite self. And I'm so grateful because I have learned that the answer is in the steps. But I have been many 24 hours, but I still give my food away for honest accountability. Because the first day I walked into the rooms, the second time, I had to be accountable and honest. Because I am hopeless, that little dash in the first step. And I have to know that only God can restore me to sanity and turning my will, which is my thinking, and my life, which are my actions, in a God-centered space. Can I ever get the love in my life? Thank you.
Thank you so much. Loretta, remind us where you're calling from. I didn't write it down. Okay, well, Loretta H. on the phone list. Okay, Roz G. is up next, followed by Diane B. Go ahead, Roz.
Good morning, people. My name's Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from Palmdale, California, which is in Los Angeles County. And this paragraph gives me the opportunity to identify with other people and examine all of the insane acts that I took to try to control my compulsive overeating. And a couple of them, it's wonderful. Is it odd or is it God that Estancy and I were reading this exact paragraph this morning? And I was reminded that once I tried dessert Fridays, I thought, okay, I'm going to make Friday. A dessert day, and I'm just going to have dessert on Friday only. I don't even think that worked for 1 week. And I also am a chocoholic, and I love dark chocolate. And there was this mama and papa kind of place in my area that sells dark chocolate peanut butter cups. And sugar-free, sorry. I need to say sugar-free. It's like near beer for the alcoholic. Sugar-free is like near beer for me, or the sugar-free. And the major ingredient in the sugar-free dark chocolate peanut butter cups was mannitol. And I would eat those thinking that I'm not eating sugar. And the result of that was a distended abdomen, horrible gas, horrible cramps, and even more horrible diarrhea, and then triggering the allergy of the phenomenon of craving. I thought that was a good idea. The sugar-free stuff really had me for a long time, and until a former sponsor introduced the word mannitol and sorbitol to me, she said, look for those ingredients, they're deadly. And, of course, vacations were times where I thought, okay, well, I'm on vacation now, taking a trip. This ingredient in this area is not going to affect me the same way as it would at home. It just gives me an idea, reminds me that I needed to be, and I need to be restored to sanity on a daily basis through prayer, meditation, taking these steps every day, attending these meetings, working with sponsees, working with a sponsor, and being honest with you and with God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Roz G. Next up is Diane B. Go ahead, Diane.
Good morning. This is Diane B., gratefully recovered compulsive eater, living in the steps one day at a time here in New York. And thank you, everyone, for your service. And I have to say that what I was going to say, some people have already touched on, but I'm going to repeat it anyway. When I read this, I think about all the crazy things that I did with food. And I was always miserable, right? But I also see that I have to be able to laugh at myself. And on page 132, smack dab in the middle of the page, it says, we absolutely insist on enjoying life. Well, I never did enjoy life because I was always so worried about my weight and my size and my clothing and how did I look and what was I eating and when was I going to eat and where was I going to eat? How much was I going to eat? It was crazy. I was totally obsessed with this. Now that I'm living my life in the steps and I'm turned my will and my life over to my higher power, I absolutely can insist on enjoying my life. It's not always fun, and I don't always like what I'm doing or what's happening, I should say. I don't always like what's happening, but I can accept it, and I could live life on life's terms. And so when I read this paragraph, excuse me, and I look in the column, I write down all the stuff that I tried. Actually, it's not even all of it. It's just a lot of it. Of the stuff that I tried to try to control this weight and my size. I didn't know I had a disease for a very long time. And I've been in the room since 1986, but I've never had this level of recovery until almost 3 years ago, October 2019, when my current sponsor really turned me around. And she is the one who explained to me about not just about trigger foods, but also the ingredients and the combination of the ingredients. And that was a real life changer for me. That was a total turnaround. And because of that, I realized that's just the physical part, but that's the first step. And because of that, my mind is freed up to be able to concentrate and think about how am I going to work the steps? How am I going to improve my spiritual life? How am I going to continue to stay closer to my higher power? But again, like all these things, it's like I just have to read this and I just have to laugh at myself. I never could laugh at myself when I was younger or before this kind of recovery. So again, we absolutely insist on enjoying life. That's what this is about. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Diane B. from New York. And next up is Christine, and then I'm going to take another lineup. Go ahead, Christine S.
Hi, Christine S. from Los Angeles. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thank you so much. I'm really grateful to be here. It's my 2-year anniversary in OA and my first time sharing on A Vision for You. This paragraph, here are some of the methods we have tried. You know, I changed the we to I, and of course I have, you know, a whole list very similar to the list here. You know, I tried removing apps from my phone, giving away food to friends, giving my credit cards to neighbors to hold. I always said I'd start tomorrow and, you know, this is it, I could do it. And then the next day, after throwing everything away, I would wake up and, you know, order it again. I'd add the app to my phone because it was very easy, and yeah, I'd order it again. You know, it wasn't until I came into OA, and I mean, I'm not recovered yet, but I've relapsed a few times, you know, this last 2 years, but it wasn't until I came here that I realized I had a disease and that my life was unmanageable and that I am powerless. And I know that only, you know, a spiritual experience is what's going to help me, a connection with my higher power now, and which I'm working on. And, you know, I'm on step one with my sponsor. I'm just going over my food, and, you know, and it feels pretty good. I don't know if that was my time or not, but it feels good, and I'm grateful to be here, and thank you so much for letting me share.
No, that wasn't me. You have a minute and 20 seconds if you want to continue, Christine.
Oh, okay, that's okay. I'm done. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks so much, and congrats on the 2 years anniversary. And now, before I take another lineup, I just want to remind everyone again that we are reading today from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 31, and more about alcoholism, and we have unpacked the second paragraph. And if you have not shared on any Vision for You meeting on Wednesday or Tuesday, please give me your names one at a time.
Hannah B.
Kathleen W.
Barbara W.
Leah S. Deborah G. Okay, I'm going to put separate G, and I think I heard. So we have very limited time, and here are the names I heard, and if we can get to everybody, we will get to everybody. This is the order in which I heard them. Hannah B., Kathleen W., Barbara W., Leah S., Deborah G., and Elaine G. So go ahead, Hannah B., and we'll see how we do with time. Go ahead.
Hi, Hannah B. from Tennessee, compulsive overeater, and I'm so grateful to be recovered and to have this wonderful fellowship that I feel connected to. When I think about the methods that I have tried, it is just absolutely mind-boggling and astonishing because, I qualify in another program long before I came into OA, and this is just the methods with my compulsive overeating, it's just endless. There's just so many facets to my methods. And it's like I stayed in this cage. It was like being locked in this cage and being constantly distracted and trying to figure out a way to get out and a solution to get out. And the whole time God is there saying, I'll help you. If you want my help, I'm here. I'll help you. And I'm like, okay, thanks. I'm right in the middle of trying to figure this out. I got this. But God, by the way, why aren't you helping me? Why aren't you hearing my prayers? You know, and it's, we just keep ourselves so busy. And so until I saw my failure and I experienced that defeat over and over again, and to the point where I just had no more energy, to this place of collapse, essentially, where it was like, finally, I became willing to accept spiritual help and accept the help that this program offers, to where I ran out of ideas. I had no more ideas, and it was just such a desperate place, and what a wonderful gift to not have to continue in that madness and insanity and just pursue these, you know, means that just lead to, you know, deeper into unconsciousness until we have those moments again where we wake up and we realize we're locked up, you know. And it's just such a gift. I have so much gratitude for this fellowship and these steps and God in my life through that today. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Hannah B. Next up is Kathleen W., followed by Barbara W. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Hello, this is Kathleen W. from Illinois. This is great. I just kind of always breeze through this before reading this, you know, just this list and list of things. But it's become so meaningful to me today as each one speaks about this and says what their experience is with this. What comes to me about this, all these methods we've tried, you know, Bill said in the big book, faith without works is dead. You know, in order to, you know, show me what your works are, that shows me what your faith is. Show me how you treat one another. Show me how you help one another, and I'll show you, you know, that thereby you're showing me your faith. And so he did say that, and that comes from a quote in the Bible, actually. And there's another place in that same book where it says, works without faith are dead, is dead. And so all of these things listed and all of the things that I did to make myself right with God and with myself and with the universe, they didn't work. It was works without faith. But as I began to do the 12 steps, as I began to work, you know, on the first step, and I am powerless. You know, no works that I can do are going to make me right with God and right with myself. And had to come to believe in that power greater than myself. And so as I did those steps, I began to do the works of God, not my own works, you know, the things that God were directing me to do. I began to get the wisdom from God. The wisdom came in a great way from the fellowship. And so you know, I pray today, you know, God, I, of course, you know, we're given all these things to do, make these calls, do this, do that. Yes, all of that, I believe, is my direction. When my sponsor says something, I do it, you know, and then I don't see right away the good of it, but then I do. And that was wisdom from God. That wasn't something I came up with. That was something that, that was brought to me by another person. And so today, if I just try to do, you know, try to do the works so that I can be right, and I hear this on the line all the time, you know, I did this, I did that, and it just didn't make me right. It's our only our connection with our higher power will help us to do the works of God, you know. That prayer that in the third step, you know, help me to stay close to you, God, and do your work well. You know, that's a prayer that I say, do your work well. And then cease from my own labors, my own laboring, which is very burdensome. And that is something that only comes to me. The ability to do that, to tell the difference between my work and God's work, is that it's just staying in an unforced flow of grace, you know, trusting my higher power to guide me. And so that trust in our and my higher power
that's
to guide
time.
Me, that's what I need, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Kathleen. And next up is Barbara W.
Good morning. Barbara W., compulsive overeater from Washington State. I am in the point of pulling out of a relapse, but I have memories. I have been in this program for 45 years. Somebody's unmuted. I've been in program for over 45 years, and I can remember, gosh, way back when, what was it, self-help books. They were going to be the key to my getting, you know, slimmer. That was my key. And I had no clue that it was my mind that was messed up, so to speak. And having been raised with both parents being alcoholic and divorced, and it's interesting that my disease didn't, in quotes, kick in until my 20s, later 20s. And I'm trying to think, the self-help books. And the other thing was high protein. And I don't have memory of the consequences of that, but I do remember thinking, oh, if I have all this great protein, then I'm going to lose lots of weight. Yeah, I was always looking for something outside myself, like the books, or a pay and way thing like that, and it just never seemed to hold. And now that I'm in my 70s, I'm almost 77. I have seen the progression of this disease. I wrote it down. And part of the use of the word, but as a category 5, the power of it was like a category 5 storm. It is like that if I choose to pick up. And I gratefully just got myself a new sponsor, and I'm feeling stronger and through God's strength, through my higher power. Oh, think of it another way. I don't know, but it was some way to help me lose weight that I could do. I was home with small children years and years ago, and they're now all in their 40s. So I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Barbara W. And Leah S. is up next, and that may be all we have time for today. Let's see how it goes. Thanks, Leah.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S., and I am recovered in Brooklyn. Thank you, God. Brooklyn, New York. Okay, what is this paragraph? This paragraph is all about my ups and downs and my illusions and my expectations. This is all about step one. I am going to admit to me, not to you, I'm going to admit to my gut that I no longer am going to pop in those truffles because they're the end of me. And that is it. And what is it doing to me? But I can't go into what it is doing to me because I know damn well what it does to me. I have not taken responsibility. This is step one. In page 24, they have it in italics. Everything that the big book has in italics is something that should be shouted out. I refuse to remember the humiliation of what it means to overeat or what it means to look the way I look like. Or I refuse to see that I hate my body. I really do. And I have to learn to understand this is my body. This is who I am. My honesty is going to bring me courage. My honesty is going to bring me more hope. Ironically, I didn't even think about that. But I have to first start with a step one. And it also, just a little parable, you know, if I go to the doctor not feeling well, I really, you know, and they do all kinds of tests and they don't know what's going on. And I'm still claiming, excuse me, I'm not feeling well. excuse me. The doctor, and nobody can help me because we don't know what it is that is bothering me. But once I know what is bothering me, then I know how to help myself. I know where to start. And this is the same with my disease. I cannot start these steps unless I'm honest, totally honest with myself and my food. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Leia. Appreciate you sharing and closing us out today. And that is all the time that we have. So I apologize if I took more names than we had time allotted.
Can I just say hello? This is Elaine G.
Yeah, please call back tomorrow and share because we're closing the meeting now, Elaine. Thanks so much. So now we're going to close. And I also want to thank Team Thursday for the month of September. Thank you all for your service. And we're going to now close with the reading from the big book on page 164. We're going to be followed by the Serenity Prayer. So will Freya H. please read A Vision for You? Thank you, Freya.
Yes, this is Freya H. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you, Freya. And let's wait for the stop. Okay, I don't know if the recording stopped or not, but I will ask everyone to press star 1 to unmute.